Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Well, are you afraid of the dark? You don't have to worry about it today because we're shedding some light on some dark places. The fascinating world of underground caves in Wisconsin. And our guest today, it's great to have her back, the author and underground enthusiast Doris Green in the studio with me to talk about the second edition of her book, Wisconsin Underground, A Guide to Caves, Mines, and Tunnels in and Around the Badger States. And we'll talk about some of the best places. Some of them are wild, and some of them, a few of them, are man-made. It's going to be a lot of fun. And you may have some questions about them, or maybe you've had some experiences caving. Love to hear from you about that, or maybe going through some of the mines or some of the tunnels. I always like talking about them myself because I've had a little bit of experience in it, caving. And so join in. Let us know what's on your mind. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. Doris Green, welcome back.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here, and I'm really eager to hear what people will have to say and ask about caves.
Well, let's see. When I interviewed you when your first edition of this came out, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. It was a long time ago. And the first edition was published by Trails Books, and that was almost another era. But Henschel House in Milwaukee, the publisher is Kira Henschel, who happened to have a degree in geology, who knew, and asked me to do second editions, which I was really thrilled to do.
Yeah, so, and you like the cave, don't you?
I'm not like hardcore, but I really love the spaces, and there's just something so mysterious and adventurous about going underground.
Yeah, I was thinking back to my youth, and when I was kid, you know, probably 10 years old, we had there was a little cave on a neighbor's farm. And, you know, we were kind of afraid to go into it. It was a small, you know, it was not one of a Cave of the Mounds type cave, as far as I could tell. Whenever you got a lot of rain, the water went right down that cave and into that area. And we sort of got in a little ways, but we're afraid to go too far. But how many caves do we have here in Wisconsin? Probably don't know exactly, but...
Don't know exactly. The Wisconsin Speleological Society estimates around 400, and that includes, you know, sinkholes and so on. But who knows? After a rainstorm, something can open up, or some farmer can get ambitious and decide to excavate a sinkhole, and you never know.
You never know. Garrett at UW River Falls has a comment or question. Garrett, hi.
Hi there. Yeah, I was walking along the Wolf River this weekend, and I noticed a lot of litter buildup with the melting of the snow now. And my question today is, how does litter buildup affect caves?
That's a great question, considering how much winter we've had this year. I'm sure, you know, this is not something I'm an expert in, but how can it help but not really enlarge existing caves, and especially in the case of cave openings, reveal new openings that may not have been visible before?
You're talking about the weather now, not the litter.
Yes, right.
It does impact, weather will impact a cave for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And just think about the threat of rain in a large cave, sure.
You know, you started to talk about how some caves have been found, and I thought you've got some interesting stories in your book about, not long detailed stories, but shorter stories about how some caves have been found or some caves have been developed. Do you have a favorite story along those lines?
I don't know about a favorite, but they're certainly varied, and some of them are really part myth. people don't really know when things are passed down through oral histories. So, you know, was it really two boys following a pig into a cave? Who knows? And then, of course, the Cave of the Mounds was uncovered with a quarry blast when they were digging out a quarry.
And the Cave of the Mounds, I've been there several times, actually, over the years with various and sundry kids often. And it is a kind of a cool cave. Talk about that for a minute.
It's really cool, and it's one of the reasons it's especially cool right now is since that cave was opened by a quarry blast and there was no natural opening, it means that that cave has no bats in it, which means that it is open year-round. The cave is not a hibernaculum for bats, and you can go there any time of the year and enjoy it. And it also means, because it was closed for so long, that the formations are pretty pristine. There has not been a lot of graffiti or even in the 19th century people taking little souvenirs from the cave.
Yeah, that's probably been a problem for quite a few caves. What drew you to caves, by the way?
It was the Cave of the Mounds when I was a kid, and we had a family trip there, and it just stuck with me and wouldn't go away.
Well, you talk about man-made mines and tunnels and natural underground spaces. That's, I think, how you've got the book separated out, isn't it?
Right, because Wisconsin, after all, to be perfectly honest, of course, is not Missouri or Kentucky or Tennessee. And so if I wanted to do a book about underground features, we needed to look beyond just caves in Wisconsin. And there are some really fascinating historic sites and tunnels that are really very little known that are part of our underground attractions.
Are those some of those that you're talking about? I mean, can anybody go in them? Or
all of the sites in the book are publicly accessible. So there are 76 sites, but that includes a few museums that have replica caves and mines. But yeah, they're publicly accessible.
I was thinking about one time, and this is again was a long time back, going to the Wisconsin Dells with a bunch of people, and there was supposedly a cave there, and you could go and visit this cave, and they would take you down this mine shaft, and I afterwards realized that you got in this sort of wooden elevator type thing, and you rumbled as you went, sort of went, supposedly we're going down, and then there's a bump and you're at the bottom. But I actually think you didn't go anywhere.
Oh, how funny.
You didn't go anywhere, and then you, the door opened and you got to go and see the little cave.
There were some caves. There probably are a couple yet, but there were some more caves at the Dells before the dam went in. And so H.H. Bennett had photographed some of the earlier ones, which are no longer accessible. And there is supposed to be a cave near Mirror Lake State Park that at one point, I think it's on private land, which is why it's not in the book, but I think at one time people had established a bar inside the cave.
Well, it's not a bad place. And your heating bill and your cooling bill isn't affected very much in a cave.
Well, and there are many spaces where people have, like breweries and wineries, as well as cheesemakers, have used caves.
And you've got photos of some of those in the book, if I'm not mistaken.
There are photos of almost every site.
Yeah, there are a lot of great photos in it. Well, what's changed in terms of, this is an update of your first, it's a second edition, revised, and what went into the revision?
It was great fun because I got to traipse around the state and revisit a lot of sites and network with people I have, in some cases, hadn't seen for a while. There were disappointments because there are a couple of sites that were just so wonderful that are no longer accessible. But there, of course, are new sites. There are especially new sites in the realm of tunnels, which I either didn't exist or I had not known about that many years ago. There's a fascinating one at Fort It. It's actually in Jefferson, uncovered by the Fort Community Credit Union downtown. And when they renovated their building, they left a piece of a tunnel that runs under Main Street, and they also left visible so that you can walk from above and look down and see the roof of this tunnel. It's quite fascinating, and apparently it was part of Prohibition.
Part of Prohibition. Well, no, I'm sure there were probably a lot of caves that were used when it came to Prohibition. We're talking today with Doris Green, and she's got an updated edition of her book, and her book title is Wisconsin Underground, A Guide to Caves, Mines, and Tunnels in and Around the Badger State. You can join in with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Let's go to Gary in Brookfield. Gary, hi.
Hey. Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a copy of your book, Doris, your second edition. And the one question I have, I noticed in the mining section, you don't talk about any of the mines up by Iron Ridge, in particular like the Nita Mine.
You know, I thought that I did mention it somewhere in there, but the reason that the Nita Mine would not be included as a major site is because it is not really open to the public. The university in Milwaukee is doing a lot of research there, and there have been many, many bat counts over the years, but it's not really something that a family can just go and visit on their own.
Oh, interesting. Well, Gary, thanks for that call. Appreciate it. Well, Doris Green is going to be with us right up until 12:30. Again, the number for you to call to join in, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. We're going to take a quick look at the news, the weather. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back with Doris Green. So you stay with us. We'll be back soon. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller, having some fun talking about caves in and around Wisconsin with author and underground enthusiast Doris Green. Doris has the second edition of her book out. It's called Wisconsin Underground, A Guide to Caves, Mines, and Tunnels in and Around the Badger State. So fun talking with her. Questions about maybe caves in your area of the state, or maybe you've had an experience with a cave and you want to tell us about, give a call at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. We'd love to hear from you. Doris, basically, there are kind of two areas in the state maybe where primarily we have caves.
Right. Along the Niagara Escarpment, along the east part of the state, which the Niagara Escarpment runs from Niagara Falls through Canada and down into Wisconsin. And then also the southwest Driftless area, which runs, some geologists say, all the way up to Crystal Cave, which is west of Eau Claire, but primarily the southwestern counties. And Grant County, for instance, has the largest number of caves in the state with more than 100.
Grant County, there's more than 100? Oh, my goodness.
106.
106? Holy cow. Well, Betsy in River Falls has a question for you, so let's go there. Hi, Betsy.
Yes, I am Betsy, and I live in River Falls, and I've heard that there are caves that one of our mayors wanted to turn into parking lots, but somehow that never happened. And do you have any idea if there are any caves in River Falls?
Or in the River Falls area, yeah.
There probably are small openings in the sides of bluffs, but I'm actually not familiar with something that a caver would say, this is a cave that you need to go see. So I don't know, but I would tell you that I would love to know more.
If you find, how do people get a hold of you? You've got a blog, haven't you?
That works. That's DorisGreenBooks.com. And if you send me a message there, I will reply.
Yeah. So there you go. We have, so you have two cave areas in the state. I know there's one area that you wanted to kind of touch on for sure, and that's the Cherney Merivale Park Caves?
Right. It's a county park, and one of the reasons I kind of wanted to give a shout out to it is because I think it's a park that people may be less aware of. Everyone knows about about the Cave of the Mounds, for instance, but Cherney Merivale Caves County Park is becoming a more developed cave park system. And in the 19th century, there were people who went there. There was a hotel with a spa and a spring, and that kind of fell into disuse and was covered up. But now, in recent years, the Wisconsin Speleological Society has been excavating caves there. And there are actually, right now, 10 known caves along this bluff, and they're getting longer every year. And the society opens a couple of them for tours on the third Sunday of the month, beginning May 18th. Otherwise, the smaller caves you can visit anytime on your own.
And maybe a little shout out to the society itself. They do some good work.
Right. And so you could learn more about them at wisconsincaves.org.
Christy in Shatek has a question for you. Hi, Christy.
Hi, nice to talk to you guys.
Yeah, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Jesus. Jesus, like always, and change and growth, and it's going to be different now.
But you had a question about caves.
Yeah, could you live in a cave?
Yes, and so I don't know if I put this in the book or not. I may have mentioned it in the first edition. There's a cave loosely referred to as House Cave along a state highway north of Spring Green. And one caver said that he went up there and it was partly dug out and he found a table and chairs and it sure looked like someone had been living there for a while.
Ah, so it wouldn't be the first one. And you probably, if you think about our Badger State and the lead mining, those were not really caves that they've dug, or were they? Kind of homes that they dug right out of the ground.
There are different definitions of, like, badger huts and badger holes and bear holes and different things. But I do think that in some early mines that some of the miners did sleep in little alcoves within the mine that they were working on.
Hmm, interesting. Oh, thanks, Christy. Let's go to Greg in Boscobel next. Hi, Greg.
Hi, how are you guys? Yeah, I was calling. I was wondering if your guest was aware of the, they call it the Counterfeiter Cave above Highway 61 between Mount Zion and Boscobel.
You know, I was sure you were going to tell me about Bogus Bluff, but no, when you started talking there, but no, I'm not sure that I do know that. And I would love to know more about that.
Yeah. Do you know anything about it, Greg?
Well, I actually never went down much into it myself. I'm kind of claustrophobic.
Yeah.
Not a spelunker, but I know it's there and I know a lot of people that would go down in there, but they said that there was in the early 1900s or sometime, I don't know, there was counterfeiting going on inside that cave. And I think, you know, it's quite a large cave, I know that. You go down in, it's right above Highway 61, Plugtown.
Is it on private land or public land?
That'd be private.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's.
Yeah. I don't know about Bogus Bluff. You're talking about.
Bogus Bluff.
Well, that's on private land too, but it's got a long story attached to it. That's more near Goltham, and.
So what's the story? I'm dying to hear.
There are many stories, and including one that, if you really search online, you could probably find an article by Don Greenwood, who really researched it. But counterfeiters would have been part of that, too.
So Bogus Bluff. And
August Derleth also mentioned that cave in some of his writings.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go. We don't know much about Counterfeiter's Cave. We know a little bit more about Bogus Cave, Greg. Thank you for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, by the way. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Paul emailed to say that in the late 1800s, there were several short-lived copper mines in Douglas County. All are now abandoned. Are any of them visible today, or how were they filled in if they were? Do you know anything about that, Doris?
I'm trying to remember if the Brule River, if that's how close that is to Douglas County. There's the Percival Mine that you can hike to from the Brule River State Forest, and then further south at Interstate State Park, there was also, not even short-lived, I'm not sure it actually really got off the ground, but there was a silver mine that people tried to develop and just really did not work out. But there are remnants of all of that. And if you want some interesting hiking, there are some sites in the book about mine remnants that either didn't quite make it or for whatever reason, are fading into the woodlands.
Yeah. They're kind of, you know, caves are important to our ecosystem in many ways, are they not?
Well, yes. Karst landscape and certainly the bats, but the karst landscape of the southwest part of the state has really come into the news more recently because of groundwater issues. And I'm happy, and I'm always happy to hear more about karst education because it's so important. You know, it used to be years ago that people would just dump trash into sinkholes, and that's changed. You know, people know better now, and science and technology have advanced so that you don't do that and contaminate the groundwater supplies.
What about the, you know, I was kind of interested in talking about bats. Caves have been very useful for some of our bat population, but at the same time now because they're gathering places, and with white nose syndrome, they're also places where bats might wind up dying.
Right. So white nose syndrome has been one of the other big changes from the first edition to the second edition of the book. There are now places that cavers and visitors just need to avoid during the winter months for that reason.
I know you've got a nice photo of the entrance to Horseshoe Cave with a bat gate.
Right. There are more and more of the caves that people tend to visit. Either the DNR or other groups have placed bat gates in front of the cave so that bats can go in and out, but people cannot. And then, for instance, at Governor Dodge State Park, the gates are closed in winter and people cannot enter, but the rest of the year they can.
Let's go to the phones again and take some calls. Carol in Boscobel, your turn. Hi, Carol. Carol, are you there? We lose Carol?
Hello.
Hi, Carol. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just wondering if your guest has heard of Eagle Cave over here by Blue River, Wisconsin.
Oh, absolutely. It's a wonderful cave. It's especially a wonderful cave for kids because scout groups can be there overnight, and it's very safe. They can crawl along side passages, and they won't get lost because all of those little tiny side passages pop back out into the main passage. So it's a great educational resource.
Yeah, I visited Eagle Cave. It's a cool place. Carol, have you visited there?
Well, actually, I used to work there.
Ah!
And my daughter-in-law, her parents owned it, and now the youngest son owns it. It is a private-owned cave. And it's just exceptional for kids and for youth groups or anybody that wants to come up there and go through the cave and, like you said, crawl around in there. And it's very good. And they do give a nice talk on that the white nose syndrome and everything for everybody to know. And there is another cave where I used to live by over between, between Richland Center, Wisconsin, and there's a little place called Bosstown. And it was called Pop's Cave.
Pop's Cave. Carol, yeah. Doris, are you familiar with Pop's Cave?
I am. It's on private land, and it's one of the I am disappointed that I was not able to include it in this book. It is on private land, and the owners used to be a little bit more allowing of visitors and tour groups coming through, but partly I've been told that because of white nose syndrome, they're just not doing that so much, and so it's not in the book right now.
Ah, there you go. Carol, thanks for calling. Let's go to Kurt in South Milwaukee. Kurt,
yes,
hello.
Good afternoon. Yeah. I was reading a book or article about a cave. It was either a county or city park that they was open for many years, but then a gentleman got stuck and he couldn't get him out and he passed away, and that is now is closed off, and that's his cemetery graveyard. And I just want to bring up the safety. If you don't know where you're going, please be so careful.
Yeah,
absolutely. And there are, if you go to the Speleological Society website, there are safety tips. Most Wisconsin caves are relatively safe because they tend to be small. But if it's a cave of any size, you do not want to go alone and without multiple sources of light. And tell somebody where you're going.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we have Ted in Eau Claire next. Hi, Ted. Thank you for calling.
Hey. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's on your mind?
There's two caves. They're man-made caves in Eau Claire, right in Eau Claire. One is downtown by the Eau Claire Library. It's just a little hike along the river. I believe they were beer barrels down in it. That one's safe to walk in. It's wide open. You just walk in, and it's what it is.
Yeah.
Same size from front to back. But there's a log flume that you can – I wouldn't advise anybody to go into it. They've tried to seal it off, but it keeps caving in. But can climb down into it from a ladder, but – I don't even want to tell people where it's actually at because I don't advise people to go to it.
That's probably a good advice there, Ted. Were you familiar with those, Doris?
No, and the first one, I'm disappointed. I will go look for the first one at some point. I give presentations, and sometimes I get to put stuff into presentations that did not quite make it in the book. So I'll ask around about something in Eau Claire. I did put in the Chippewa Falls Bear Den, which is another man-made cave.
Oh, the Bear Den is a man-made.
Right. And Leinenkugels used to have caves behind their brewery, but they have kind of sealed them off, or they kind of disappeared with renovations of the plant. But there is a bear den cave in the zoo in Chippewa Falls that also was part of a brewery.
Thanks, Ted. Appreciate it. Mitchell in Appleton, your turn. Hi, Mitchell.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
My question was, I do sound recording, and I've been looking to get into caves around here in Wisconsin, and I'm wondering if you guys had any, recommendations or suggestions of caves that had probably really interesting sound properties that I'd be able to get to, or, the public can get at.
Wow. Do you mean, there are caves where people have held weddings and, looking at acoustics, including Cave of the Mounds, where they've had music played in caves, but I think you're meaning something different than that.
Yeah, more the ambience of caves, the natural noises. You know,
well,
it's not just the wind. There's more to caves than that.
Yeah. You'd probably want a cave then that is growing, that is an actively growing cave, and that would include Cave of the Mounds, but where there is water dripping, for instance, and where the cave is still growing, as opposed to a cave in sandstone, which is more likely not, it would have no formations and be drier, so you would look for a moist cave, perhaps.
So Cave of the Mounds actually could be, although mm-hmm. it'd be tough to get in there without just on your own if you were going to go in there to record. Maybe they would allow it at night. You never know. It'd be one to look at anyway, Mitchell, or contact them about. Cave of the Mounds, one of them, that's probably the most well-known cave in Wisconsin, is it not?
Oh, absolutely.
What's your favorite cave, by the way?
It varies, and it changes with the year. At the moment, because I live so close to Governor Dodge State Park, and because you can just wander there pretty much on your own anytime, and then reflect, I like to go there, either alone or with a friend. But if you ask me at another time, it might be Crystal Cave, because it's the biggest.
Yeah, Crystal Cave is really a cool, cool cave. Mitchell, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And, you know, kind of you have tunnels in there as well. And one of the tunnels that I liked biking through was the Elroy Sparta Trail tunnel.
Right. We are so blessed to have, let's see, six, I think, maybe five tunnel old railroad tunnels that are still in use today and that you can bike and hike through them, and they're wonderful. There was another one that I wanted to put in the book, but I couldn't get close enough. You can, it's kind of barely visible from a road, but I wish we had more of them, but we're blessed to have what we do have.
Yeah, and I really highly, well, I recommend the Elroy Sparta Trail anyway for biking. It's really fascinating, and that mine tunnel is really a lot of fun. It's one of those where you get off the bike and do a little walking because it's kind of dark.
It's kind of dark. And then there's one of them that curves, so you can't see the end of it until you're in the middle of the tunnel. That's fun.
Yeah, that one's fun, too. Well, there's a lot of fun caves and mines and tunnels in and around the Badger State, and you've captured a lot of them. I know you're going to be... you have some speaking engagements coming up. You're going to be May 6th, I believe.
May 6th is the Sun Prairie Public Library. May 21st is DeForest Public Library. And then there are more events starting in June and through November.
And do you take, if somebody wants to have you come, will you know, can you...
Yes, it's great fun. I have so much fun doing this and talking with people about what they know about caves, mines, and tunnels, that it's just a wonderful experience.
So they could get a hold of you at your, probably at your blog, I would think.
Yes, and the other option would be to just go to the publisher, henschelhaus.com.
So the blog is dorisgreenbooks.com if you're interested in learning a bit more, or maybe you want to have her come and talk about her book and about caves. She's, if she has the time, she's happy to do it. Doris, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's been fun. Doris Green, and her book title is Wisconsin Underground, A Guide to Caves, Mines, and Tunnels in and around the Badger State. So fun talking with her about caves. Just to look ahead, excuse me. Tomorrow at this time, we'll talk about nutrition and take a look at food labels. That's tomorrow at 11:45 on the Ideas Network. In the meantime, don't forget, Springer election is April 2nd. WisconsinVote.org is your source for election news and information. Thanks for listening. Stay with us.